Lux Row Distillers. What went into picking the name for the distillery, other than obviously your family name, Luxco being the name of the company? Why name it Lux Row instead of after one of your brands?
So our challenge when we embarked on the naming project was to try to convince ourselves that it should or should not be named after a brand. That was our first challenge. And so, you know, we spent some time in Kentucky. We went around to different distilleries. We've seen many of the different tours and so on. And really, the places that have the name either have it because that was the only brand they had at the time, like Maker's Mark. That was just a one-brand distillery. Or they're more what we would call legacy brand, a very large worldwide brand like a Jim Beam. Or Four Roses was actually the name of a company that's owned by Karen. And then they've obviously had the brand for a while. Wild Turkey, Woodford Reserve, which is named after a brand that Brown-Forman started. So while Ezra Brooks and Rebel Yell and Blood Oath and so on are great brands, we didn't feel any of them were what we would call legacy brands or large worldwide brands. And so the analysis was, we all love the name the Rebel Yell Distillery. It seemed to fit. But the challenge for us is that we have a number of whiskey brands, and we didn't want a brand name distillery discrediting any of our other brands, if that makes sense. So if you think about a winery, let's say the Jordan Winery, well, if they come out with a wine, and if they come out with another wine out of that winery, it's always considered, well, it's a second label or a third label or a fourth label, and it doesn't really carry the heritage and the quality image of what we would call the mother brand. So we didn't want to have that. So we decided to take a different course and say, okay, we have all these great whiskeys, and so what are we really? Well, we're whiskey makers, and how do we tie in the heritage of Kentucky, of the great site of Bardstown, the Luxco family name or the Lux family name, into a site? So what we wanted to do is build and promote the actual site of the distillery, and that this great place are where we make these wonderful brands. So I think it's a great question. I'm sure I'm going to be answering it tomorrow night as well. But we just didn't feel like one brand made enough sense. The other thing to think about is, let's say we did call it the Rebel Yell Distillery. Well, we have a great brand called Ezra Brooks. We have Blood Oath. We have David Nicholson. And so we thought that would diminish, as I alluded to earlier, we thought that would diminish the credibility or the quality image of those labels if they were just, oh, those are just second or third labels coming out of the Rebel Yell Distillery because they just need to make more whiskey. So does that make sense?
Oh, makes perfect sense. How is the construction coming on the new place?
Coming along. We've had an enormous amount of rain through the August, so it put us a few weeks behind schedule. But no, it's coming along. All the grading is done. The rock is down. We're getting ready to pour the slab. We should be on schedule for fourth quarter next year to start making whiskey.
Now, explain the reasoning for building the distillery in the first place. Luxco has never had a distillery of its own before. You've always sourced the whiskeys for your expressions from various distillers within Kentucky. But why make the change now?
It was kind of a crossing of two lines, so to speak. You know, our business continued to grow, and so we put more demand on the people that were making it for us, and we make no bones about it. We buy whiskey from Jim Beam. We've had some old Diageo whiskey, and then we, of course, make the majority of our whiskey at Heaven Hill. And as our needs grew, their distilling capacity for third-party customers like ourselves was starting to diminish. So probably as recent as a couple of years ago, we were in discussions with the people that were making it for us to say, you know, these are our projections, and they were saying, I'm not so sure we can make you that much whiskey. And so we started looking at sites and just started talking about it, and it ended up that the needs that we need outside of beyond 2020, they weren't going to be able to make for us anyway. So we really didn't have a choice because we have these brands that we built up and invested in for the last 30 years, and we were looking at perhaps in 2022, 23, 24, not having any whiskey. So we really didn't have a choice. The bigger choice for us was where to build it, whether it was in Kentucky or Missouri or Indiana or somewhere else, or try to go to MGP, someone like that, and continue to contract for whiskey. It was more about where to do it and how to do it, as opposed to if we were going to do it, because we came to the conclusion about a year and a half ago, says we have to do this. And so that's when we started looking at sites. We decided on Kentucky fairly early in the process, and so we began looking for sites.
And it makes sense for you to control your own source of supply now, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the business has gotten too big for us, and the business has gotten too big globally on the whiskey side. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, we look back and say, well, why didn't we do this 10 or 15 years ago? And the reason we didn't is whiskey was declining. There's enormous excess capacity. So if you're looking at investing, you know, upwards of $20 million to do something that you can basically get and invest nothing other than buying it by the barrel and paying rock bottom price for it, why would you ever do that, right? I mean, look at Barton. They sold off their entire whiskey distillery and stocks in 2007. They basically gave the business away, you know, and 3 years after that, things took off. They look like, you know, it looks like it probably wasn't a great decision, but they didn't know. You know, they didn't know things were going to happen the way they did. So, you know, just all things considered, it just makes sense for us to be doing it.
Will this eventually replace all of your sourced supply, or will you still need to source from, as you pointed out, Beam, Heaven Hill, and the others?
No, we'll control 100% of our production. Hopefully, by the second year. It depends on two things: how quickly we can get the distilling up to where we, the rated capacity, so to speak, of the, whether it's the fermenters or the stills, and then of course we have to build the whiskey warehouses where we have to store the whiskey. So we should, by the end of 2018, we should be completely up and running and doing everything for ourselves.
When do you start hiring a distiller and staff to work the place?
Probably 6 months out. And we have a distillery manager now that we've hired to manage the construction process, and I talk to him every day. He lives in Bardstown, and he has an office right there on site, so he manages that. Probably 6 months out is when we'll start to do that, as far as the master distiller starting to get it staffed with the people that we need to actually run the facility. So second quarter next year.
I imagine John Rempe's pretty happy about this now that he's going to get a place to play with whiskeys that you guys are making.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to get us to move him there. Absolutely. Yeah, John's very excited. We're excited for him. You know, John's worked really hard to learn about the industry and invested a lot of time and effort, and I think he's very well respected. And, you know, he may end up being our master distiller, or we may end up, you know, doing something different and just having him continue to do what he's doing now, because he does a lot of product development for us here in our corporate headquarters on a lot of our other brands as well. So selfishly, we don't want to lose that aspect of his abilities and talent.
Are you excited about this?
Very. Nervous, you know, just like any owner. You know, I'm nervous. I want to make sure it works to our liking and so on, but I'm very excited. It's a transformational step for us, because as you alluded to before, we built a wonderful business. We've never distilled anything on our own. We have a very close relationship with our tequila producer in Mexico, but at the end of the day, it's his agave and his distillery. So, no, this is very, very exciting for us.